Greetings, this is James Gilliland, and I'm your host on As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. We've got quite a show. We've had some amazing things happen here. I want to get through the news first before we go into that, but we did our 11-11 meditation here. It's like a world and personal healing meditation, and the energy that came in was just phenomenal. And we linked up with quite a few other groups doing it, and we had people all over the world with the live stream doing the same meditation, and the feedback was just phenomenal. People really felt the energy come through them, and some pretty major shifts happened. Before that, I want to get into just a little bit of the news lately, let people know. People keep asking me, tell me what's going on, because there's so much nonsense out there. They're having trouble sifting through what's real and what's not real, and it is a little insane. But you know, we talked earlier about how the source, what do you call it, creator, you know, it's a higher conscious and energy, everybody has a different name for it, is pressing in very hard with all the multidimensional beings, ascended masters and other beings, and they're pressing in on the earth, tearing down the grid, you know, the draconian grid or archon grid. And the earth itself, she's been initiated by the Pleiadian consciousness, and Era, which is the goddess of the Pleiades, and now she's moving as well. And so it's coming from above and below, and I call it the big squeeze that we're in right now. And so what happens is that everything aligned with that grid, that old draconian grid or archon grid, all the you know, the tyranny, the unbridled greed, the lust for power, all that energy, those people aligned with that and their empires are basically imploding. They're collapsing right now. So we're seeing the byproduct of that. And I want to talk about a little bit about the byproduct because, you know, the news is right now, it's official. They are declaring that there's at least 31 indictments coming down on very high level people that really should be taken out. I got some word on the inside that there's about 291 indictments. There might even be more coming up because it's pretty messed up. They just found out Brennan, you know, was one of the major spies who was leaking all this information, who actually converted, you know, to the Muslim religion, you know, go figure. That was a no-brainer, you know. So anyway, they're starting to tie up these leaks and find out who's who and who's on the payroll. I guess apparently six major Republicans are on the Clinton payroll, and that's coming out. There's probably more. So there's such a large host of people being either blackmailed or on the dole, and that's all surfacing right now. That's coming up. You know, they've snagged the records, and they know who's who and who's doing what. So that's going to be really interesting. They just arrested 22 more in the pedophile thing. Now, somebody told me that the numbers are up to like 35,000 arrests have been done globally around the world with this pedophile network. And from what I understand, this whole political Hollywood pedophile piece of gate, whatever you want to call it, there's going to be a massive sweep, a massive cleanup of this mess. And, you know, if they haven't bagged them already, that it's in the works, you know, the things are signed and sealed. So you're going to see a lot more of that happening. There's so much going on right now on the planet, but it's all a byproduct. You know, it's just a byproduct of the energy that's coming in. And so, as we said before, the Earth is moving through a highly energized place in space. The higher dimensional beings are aware of this, and it's part of the Earth's evolution to ascend and go to the next level. And they're assisting in that process. And the Earth itself is shifting. She's moving to the next level. And this is all part of that process. And so we've talked a lot about this, and now you're seeing the outcome. You're seeing the physical manifestation of this. So basically, as we talked about this weekend, you know, we have the option of, you know, creating heaven on earth and aligning ourselves with universal law and holding our leadership accountable to universal law, you know, or we're just going to go down. We're not going to be frequency specific to the earth and her evolutionary process. And so the people that aren't frequency specific are not going to be able to continue in this process because they're going to implode, their empires are going to implode, and we're in the process. So there's a grand plan happening right now. There's so many people that incarnated for this. A lot of people aren't aware that they incarnated for this major Earth liberation thing that's going on. They're being activated in high levels all throughout all the systems, the business institutes, the religious institutes, all these people being activated, and they call them the whistleblowers and things like that. And they're coming up and stepping into their power and standing tall in their divinity and just calling it out for what it is. And so you're going to see this, the apocalypse is the great uncovering. Everything is being uncovered and brought right up to the surface. So we're in that transition. So there will be some chaos during this process. Hopefully the white hats can mitigate a lot of this. They've been busting a lot of the plans over and over by the cabal and the other people to just wreak havoc on the planet. They've been stopping a lot of it, and some of it, you know, they're still working on, and we're in the middle of that process. But these next 2 months, November, December, are the pivotal months where all this stuff is going to be happening and coming together. So getting that all aside, I want to focus more on 11/11 and the energy at 11/11 and this global meditation that we did here. The ranch here, it's a vortex. It's a place where it's like an acupuncture point. And so when we do that kind of work here, it affects the whole planet. And so we took everybody through all their lower bodies up to their God self, and then focused all this energy back down on the planet, you know, coming from the highest level that we could ascend to. And you know, what's funny, whenever we do these exercises, you watch the news the next 3 days, you just see all this stuff hit the fan, you know. So it does create a little chaos, but it's a good thing. It brings things up to heal. And, you know, the whole, as everybody knows, the whole planet is undergoing a huge healing crisis, you might say, you know, on many levels. And so, you know, you've got the Saudi Arabia thing. There's a big cleanup going on over there. You know, everybody, they're finally figuring it out. I mean, the insiders know about it. You know, basically, you know, all the supposedly bombers on the World Trade Center, you know, had Saudi Arabian passports. You know, they came from Saudi Arabia. So, you know, so another thing too is that supposedly bin Laden, you know, who was from Afghanistan, had nothing to do with this stuff anyway. They tried to pin it on him. But again, you know, this whole CNN fake news, all this stuff that's been going on has been guiding us for so long in the wrong direction. So when we go and bomb Iraq because of 9/11, Iraq had nothing to do with 9/11. Even Bush said so. So what are we doing? Why are we going to? There's another master plan going on, and it's the plan of the cabal, and they're using our military as the brute squad to carry out their global agenda. Well, that's all coming to an end right now. That's coming to a close. So what you're going to see right now is all this major funding, where it's been coming from, who's been funding, you know, the jihadist movements, you know, ISIL and ISIS and all that stuff. It's sad. I don't know why they took the name ISIS. It's like kind of a shame, you know, because if you actually tune in with the entity ISIS, she's a beautiful goddess being, you know. And so these militants take on her name, which is pretty psycho. But there's a reason to twist all this stuff, you know, to try to twist all these things. And they're trying to reverse everything. So you'll see that even in the language, they're trying to everything's the opposite, and it's a game they're playing. But I was watching the CNN thing, and CNN goes, Trump's China visit, total crash. You know, he insulted everybody, you know, and all this stuff, right? And then you watch what really happened, and there's this major red carpet event, bands, everything, you know, they're totally hanging out, you know, it's same thing in Japan, big fanfare, you know, like they didn't even come out to the plane when Obama landed in China. They definitely didn't roll out the carpet, and they didn't even come out to the plane. They told him basically to pack it up. We don't want to deal with you, you know, we know who you are. So anyway, you know, again, a little disclaimer, I'm not a Republican, I'm not a Democrat. I think both parties, you know, the right wing, the left wing, are the same bird, and that bird's been operated from the head, which is the cabal and the other forces. But luckily that head is being cut off, and we're getting back to a republic, which is what the process, that's what we're undergoing. There's just so much going on. I can't even get into it. Some things I can't even talk about because I don't want to sabotage them. But you know, we are going to have a whole different monetary system and a whole. It's going to be a fairer system. There's going to be a global reset, and that's just the beginning. That's part of the solution. Eventually, we won't be having money. We won't even be using money, because no advanced culture actually uses money. You know, so we'll eventually go into that direction. But that's going to take a while. There's a series of steps. So a lot of people go, why are you talking about this monetary thing? You know, why are you talking about that so unspiritual? You know, we shouldn't be using money. And I said, well, right now, you know, if I go to the grocery store and say, hi, I'm a really nice guy. Will you give me that carton of eggs and that bread and that other stuff? It's not going to work out too well. So we still, money is the accepted exchange right now that we're using it. It's going to be a series of steps, you know, and it'll take a while to get there. But first, we've got to level the playing field, and that's what's happening. So all these agreements are being made. A lot of gold is being moved to back the currencies. Most of that's in place. And so there's going to be a huge shift where all this money is going to come towards humanitarian funds. And people have a hard time understanding how much just the interest on the gold is phenomenal. It's beyond it's in the quadrillions of dollars. And we're not talking about the gold, the interest on this gold that's been backing other currencies. Most of that money is going to be, you know, geared towards humanitarian purposes and taking care of the sick and taking care of the poverty, the homeless, and things of that nature. And it'll go towards bringing out the fuelless energy and the other technologies. But again, there's major resistance to this happening. The good news is most of the resistance is being wrapped up right now, and so things are going to start moving really quickly. But that's the news right now, from my understanding, and things change. Again, I thought it was hilarious when you look at CNN and then you look at the real coverage of what's going on, you know, and all the other trips. It's totally opposite of what they're saying. And so I think they just need to pull the plug on them, basically. I think they're just going to go away. Their ratings are so far in the toilet right now, and they're being propped up by the cabal, and they're eventually just gonna go by, you know, it's just economics, basically. You know, you can only prop something up so long, and then it's gonna crash. but anyway, again, follow the money, and you'll find out, you know, what they're all about. Just find out who's financing them, who's behind them, and you'll see what's going on. So setting all this aside, wow, some interesting energy just came in. I don't know if you guys felt that. That was interesting, but because I'm shifting gears right now, the energy just shifted in the room. But I really want to go into the 11-11 gathering here, what it means to the people that were here, you know, some of their experiences while they were here. And kind of move in that direction and bring different people up to talk about their experiences here during the weekend. So we can bring up our first victim, whoever wants to come up and go first. Don't everybody jump at once. That's all right.
Hey.
All right, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'd like for you to talk just a little about some of your experiences here, and also you went through the transpersonal release session too. Oh, that was, man,
that
quite
blew
interesting.
Me wide open. I'm still landing from that. I'm like,
Yeah. If you can come up a little closer to the mic, that would be great.
Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Where do I start? Oh God. When I first showed up, the crows totally freaked out in the trees, and that I used to feed them. Oh, sorry, I'm nervous. I'm like, feel that.
It's just a conversation. Just, right. You know, I was out there too. I saw that the ravens.
Oh, I pulled in.
Yeah, they were just like everywhere. And I go, hey, somebody's here. You know, they're letting me know that somebody's come on the property here. It's probably you, you know.
But, yeah, man. I used to feed them when I was having a hard time during a certain part of my life. And I was like, oh, okay. Miss you guys. Hey, thanks for the welcome.
When I went to Australia, I was working with the king of the raven tribe there and several other tribes. And when we went there and we got initiated with them, we were doing this energy work and ships are flying over and everything. And then all of a sudden the ravens came, and it's on the East Eddy Down Under one. And they just kept coming. They just kept coming and coming and coming. The whole sky was just blacked out almost with ravens. You know, it's like something out of an Alfred Hitchcock movie, but it was positive. You know, it wasn't negative at all.
Yeah, they're really powerful. And then Odin, too, like kind of energy.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, I came on Cecilia, sweetheart, give us the tour. And right when we passed the Buddha pond,
yeah,
going towards the Lemurian Hill, I got hit with just a euphoria right in my sacrum. Just went straight up, and I was like, oh my God, what is that? And it's like, oh, it's happening. Oh, like, oh, here we go. And I thought I was going to pass out or jump out of my body. I felt like I was going to lose my bowels at any second. I was like, oh, here we go. Oh, my God. I just got here. And I was like, Cecilia's like, you all right? You look like a Orion pilot. I was like, oh, right. Here we go.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then the session with you, oh, my God. Yeah, that reminds me of just getting rid of all those traumas. Like you said, ISIS. That's why they named it ISIS. One of my issues with my family, one of my family members, and
that's why speak up a little.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's why they name it ISIS. They're at war with that sacred feminine principle.
Yeah, exactly.
And they want to desecrate it. That's why they're pulling all that oil out of the earth and burning it. And you know, all the Disney movies have no mothers and all that. And so they create secondary psychopaths that if they don't heal that. And then it hit me in the bed, too, when I went to bed, and the same thing shot up my feet and up my back and in my head, and something came in the room. I was like, okay, that feels good. Then I could actually sleep. But,
Yeah, a lot of energy here. A lot of people are sensitive come here, and we've seen everything from people just almost going comatose. They go, I just got to go lay down, and they have to recalibrate to the energy here. And other people get all amped. They're going, and they're walking around just going like,
I still am all day, like every day. I'm like, calm down. Downshift. Yeah.
Take your shoes off and walk around. But it's kind of rough in the snow right now. But,
yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it anyway.
It's good to ground, you know, get grounded. We have to recalibrate because the earth, the Schumann resonance is off the scale. You know, so the earth is vibrating at a faster rate, and we really need to get grounded, take our shoes off and recalibrate with the earth, because she keeps changing. I mean, it went from 7 to 50 to 500 to up to 1,000, and then it went back down again. I don't know where it's at right now, but you know, the earth is just vibrating at a much faster rate, and our bodies are of the earth, and so we have to recalibrate, and it's so important right now to stay grounded, you know, with all this energy coming in.
Yeah, that helped a lot when we were doing that 111 session. See the tunnel.
Yeah.
Shooting all that energy back into the earth. That really helped a lot.
Did you feel the different bodies as you were moving up? You know, when
we went through this. I lost it after like six. I'm like, and then I kind of remembered coming back down, but I kind of forget after that. And then.
Yeah, after the sixth dimension, nothing matters. Yeah.
So. Like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, this isn't me anymore. Let go. Okay.
Yeah.
Come down.
And when we got up to the higher dimensions and sent the energy back down into the earth, boy, I really felt that come through. That was intense.
I saw it. It was like a giant tunnel, but it wasn't. It was like so white, but it had like a blue tint. It almost had a curve on it, and it just kept going down. I could feel it shooting through my feet. It's kind of interesting because I'm usually out here.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't ground enough, but I could feel it going all the way up through me and down. And
that's awesome. Really good. Well, I'm glad you had a good trip so far. I mean, it's going to be more of a trip, I think, tonight and tomorrow.
Oh, God. I'm ready. Yeah. Coming on.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for coming on the show. Let's see if we can bring up the next victim.
All right.
Hey, welcome to the show.
I've actually been on before. I was
yeah.
I asked a question.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
I don't know if I should recap that, but I came here when I was 13. That was like kind of changed my whole view on the world.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah. Ever since then, I've just like when I had that kind of experience where I took a nap and people told me I was missing, like ever since then, like every day, like I go to school and I go to work and like I like think about that kind of stuff. And every time I come here, it's almost like a therapy session. Like I walk around in like I've done a lot of like camping out in the woods, and it like it feels really similar to that, kind of just like less lonely because I know that I have a community with me, but like I have this weird like synchronicity with everything, you know?
Yeah, you really get in touch with the land here.
Yeah, it's inexplicable. Yeah, but later in that meditation circle, I remember when you started it, I was completely, I felt like I just had like this complete wash over me. And I remember like my eyes started like blurring out, and like I was like hyper focused on the lights in the center where you did the tipping.
Yeah.
And everything just went dark around that. And then I was like, whoa, this is really weird. And I just started closing my eyes, and like I had kind of a similar experience to when I was young, and when I like first had that happen to me, because I don't even think I can like process it. It just felt like, I don't even know.
Yeah.
Pure bliss.
Oh yeah. It sounds like you're leaving, you know, like when things a lot of times.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're kind of going out of your body and into that state of bliss. That.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is that like, I think about how like, how that this environment can make me feel like that. And I try to replicate it in like in meditation one night. Sometimes I'll like get there and kind of zone out, but it's not the same as when you're really here. It's a, like I tell everyone who's like skeptical about the kind of stuff that I talk. I know I like sometimes I sound a little crazy. I try to keep on the rails, but like anytime someone goes and it just sounds a little skeptical, I'm just like, just go down there, man. Like make it here.
Yeah, you can't explain this stuff. It's just like it's an experiential thing.
Yeah.
And I have feelings about putting a lot of this stuff up on YouTube because the people aren't here and they don't really know what's going on. And if they're looking at it with kind of sideways, you know, very skeptical, but then they don't get it. But a lot of people actually do. When we did the broadcast here, the messages coming back over Zoom was just one person after another going, my crown lit up. I just went into ecstatic bliss and it was just all positive, one thing after another. People said we can really feel it. We really connected in, and so I'm getting more and more adjusted to that. But some of these things you just can't explain. They're experiential. Yeah. You can't go, well, I saw a light cross the field, you know, or go 2 feet off the ground, or I saw something at treetop level power up and light up, and they go, well, it's just a light, you know. Yeah. And they go, well, no, it wasn't a light because there was an exchange that happened.
Those power ups, man. That was the first thing on the first night that I was here. I was with some of my friends and we were camping, and we were all looking up and we saw this star and we were like, that star is really bright, and you know, like we don't know the constellations or anything, but we were like that is like really bright star. That's kind of freaky. And then like we're all staring at it, and then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and then suddenly it was like huge in the sky.
Yeah.
And then just like imploded on itself and it was gone. And yeah. After that, like I didn't even like, I couldn't even process anything. And so I just kind of like, I remember I walked back to, cause we were off in the kind of like by the field over this way. And I walked back to the ranch, and then, I just like, I didn't even like talk to anyone or anything, but I came into that lounge room where you check in at.
Yeah.
It was a couple of years ago. It looked a little bit different, but, I don't know why, but I just took a nap. And like I woke up and people were looking for me. It was the strangest thing. And like ever since then, that was like an hour of my life. And that's like, that's changed forever. Mm-hmm. And so like, I can't tell people enough that like, you know, the stuff's real, but you know, people don't believe you until they have that kind of that sense of community, which I think is really important here, is that there's other people around you and you can talk to them. And like, it's so, this is what I like, this is my kind of theory on like finding the truth in things whenever I'm like, cause I've been like into conspiracy theories and kind of aliens and stuff. It's like, you got to find what overlaps with everything.
Yeah.
And when you have all this overlapping truth with everybody has the same sensations. It's like, I can't even deny it.
Yeah. I mean, we've had 200 people out in the field, you know, massive. We've seen ships come over treetop level, even below the treetop, film them, the ships power up, you know, with all the multiple witnesses. And but still, that's not enough for some people. It doesn't matter. I said, well, we got 200 witnesses. We have four or five cameras filmed it.
Yeah.
You know, all these things happen. You know, this one ship morphed from one to three with multiple witnesses on it. And it's not a satellite. It's not a meteor, obviously. It's very clear, you know, and we go to Heavens Above and J-Tracker to check. We know when the space station is coming over. I have a friend, Alex, I kind of mess with him every once in a while. And I called him up and I said, hey, go out at 7:30 tonight and look up, you know. And he goes, why? I go, just do it. He walks out and he looks up and comes back and goes, oh, my God, there's a massive ship right over my house. And I said, actually, it's a space station. You know? So, you know, we have fun. We do little pranks here now and then. But I always make it clear, you know, I never fake anything here. Uh-huh. But sometimes I have fun with that because, I mean, you can look up and know when the space station, and it's huge when it comes over.
Yeah.
And
I mean, for me, it was so strange because, like, when I came here, like, I thought the whole thing was a money grab. I was completely skeptical of things that, like, I was being rebellious because my parents are really, like, they were really big fans. Uh-huh. And so the entire time on the, you know, the when I was driving over here, I was just thinking, like, whatever, like, nothing's going to happen. And then, like, you know, the first night that happens and, like, I just completely, like, 180.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And it's so strange to me that some people will see that and then won't think something else, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we had one scientist out here and we had another NASA guy who was really funny. He goes, you know what? He goes, those are all satellites. He goes, I'll believe it when one stops and it goes back the other way. And right after he said it, one came in and stopped and it went back the other way. He just like, he goes, and it freaked him out. He goes, did they hear me? He goes, how did they do that? He goes, how did they do that? And I go, they're totally telepathic. I said, if you focus your energy on them, they feel it. You know, you made a statement and they heard it and so they did it, you know. So
Yeah, I mean, I'll let my friend Rich talk about it a little bit, but it was a strange thing earlier today. We actually we had a full intent on we came here because we were like we wanted to get some visions of Bigfoot.
Oh yeah.
And we knocked on a tree and then we heard a whoop, whoop.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Way off in the distance. Uh-huh. And like I felt like it was just because we had so much intent that like you know, like we weren't trying to shoot them or stab. It was right after your, right after I was asking questions about it during that session. That's exactly what we did and it worked.
Yeah, it does. You knock on the answer. And that's how they answer. They do this whoop, whoop, like they do this exactly. Really weird. And they also, they try to imitate owls. Have you heard them do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And the owls, you know, instead of going like hoot, hoot, they'd go hoot, hoot, like this because they inhale. Mm. I mean, when we exhale, when we talk, they actually inhale.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so you can totally hear when it's Bigfoot because it's an inhale when they're making their noises and things like that. You know, you can catch it. It's kind of hilarious. But there are a lot of them out here. And again, you're saying if you have pure intent, open mind, loving heart, and you go out there, they feel that, you know, they feel that energy and they'll start responding to you. And the more you work with it, the closer they come.
That might be the hardest part, though, is just like, not psyching yourself out.
Yeah. You get a 9-foot hairy being, you know. So you know, walk around the corner and run to that. You just go, you know, you really test your fear quotient right there.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Really quick. But, you know, I've never heard – the only time I've heard of Bigfoot harming anybody is when they either shot at them or they they had one encampment up here that they were totally just taking all the trees out in their area. And they came down and they grabbed 50-gallon drums and threw them and destroyed some of the equipment. And it was on the reservation, too, and they stopped the logging process.
Wow.
But, you know, usually if you go out there and if you're in the right mindset and you're not there to do harm or anything else, there's no problem. You know, you never have a problem with them. But, you know, if you go out there with a gun and you're hunting them, yeah, you could have an experience, you know, it won't be a good one.
Yeah, you might get rocked thrown at you or
something. Yeah, yeah. Well, one guy actually shot at one over towards the Dalles up in the hills up there, and he shot at one, and it started screaming and hollering at him, like, and it goes right through you. It's almost like a sonar. It's really weird, and they were, like, screaming, and one came running down, and his dogs ran, too, with him, jumped in his car, took off. And when he came back to his camp, he found his rifle, and it was twisted into a pretzel, you know. So you can imagine, you know, they're taking a steel barrel and just turning it into a pretzel, you know. So it's not a good idea to go out there with guns or anything and think you're going to you're going to bag one, you know. It's like,
yeah, I wouldn't want to fist fight a Bigfoot.
No, yeah, it's a no contest. Plus they can phase in and out, which is hard for some people to understand, but we've actually seen them phase.
That's what you were saying with Clyde, right? Is that he ran through the orchard and then he did.
Yeah. All the trees, the branches were interlocked and he went right down the path, right through those trees. And you would have heard all this ruckus and everything and branches moving. The branches didn't move. You know, so I said, you know, these guys can phase out, or they're not totally physical. They can be if they want to be, but they have ability to phase out, it seems like.
So were they here before us? Have they been here for a while?
I think they've been here a long time. And I think a lot of them evolved naturally in nature. They didn't go into technology. They worked with their environment versus against it. And then there were some benevolent ones, and there were some kind of nasty ones in the past that used to grab children and things like that. And actually, the benevolent ones worked with the Native Americans and got rid of them.
Yeah, that's they got rid of that group. Those in Native American culture.
Yeah. They got rid of the negative ones. And then there's an android. I think the UFOs have an android that they deploy, you know, when they want protection.
Yeah, that's what you said. That's so strange. It reminds me of that theory that the gray aliens are androids.
Well, they are. A lot of them are just little Autobots. They're like a biological robot. Mm. And we found this hair up there that was 3 feet long, you know, over 3 feet long.
A hair?
Yeah, from the Bigfoot. And we had it analyzed by a fiber specialist and a forensic guy. And they go, what is this, alien? You know, they couldn't figure out what it was because it was perfectly hollow. And it had trace elements and it was silicon base. Mm. And they said that we cannot manufacture this. We cannot create this here. Wow. We don't know where it came from. And so it was kind of like a, I don't know, it's like a synthetic biology or something that they, and it really makes sense because if you're silicon based, there's no problem in shifting and going other dimensions and everything else. You don't have any problem whatsoever. And so, some of the higher beings are actually more silicon-based than iron-based like we are.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. Keep up the good work. Take your camera out there and get a picture of Bigfoot for us.
Hey, James.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on your show. So I need your help with Bigfoot. I need to figure out. I got this Bigfoot thing going on. So my buddy Wilder and I were talking about it. So
you're kind of a big guy. Maybe it's your ancestors.
That's exactly what I think is going on. So I don't know. But I came into this completely skeptical. Uh-huh. Didn't believe in Bigfoot at all. And now actually they used to call me Bigfoot when I was a kid because I wear a size 15 shoe. A lot of weird stuff is going on with the Bigfoot stuff. So a little backstory real quick, just to give you an idea of where I'm coming from. I had a Kundalini awakening 13, 14 years ago. And in the 11-11 meditation today, one of the things you brought up was how if those things start prematurely, you can get energy sickness and that kind of thing. So I had a lot of that.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't a fun experience. But it led to me kind of figuring out that I'm a star seed and things like that. And then I found out about your ranch, which was kind of really cool thing to figure out. Because I had no way of really going on the web trying to look this stuff up. It was just very confusing, that kind of thing. So today's talk on the 11-11 stuff was nice because you kind of laid out some of that information that I just couldn't, you know, put together. Mm-hmm. But last time I was here, the really cool thing was that when I was camping, I was just, again, I had no real expectations at all. And then I heard this whooping sound, this whoop, whoop,
yeah,
whoop.
Yeah.
And it freaked me out because it was just so guttural and so unlike anything I'd ever heard before. And the coyotes were freaking out.
Oh, yeah. They go crazy.
They did not like this, whatever this was. And I could tell it was a large mammal. Uh-huh. Yeah, like a big mammal. So I kind of was like, well, what is that? And I went home and I started Googling all the sounds that animals in the Northwest make.
Yeah.
And couldn't find any match. The owls were close.
Yeah.
There was a couple of owls that were close. But then I found these old recordings that people had made of Bigfoot. And I was like, that was the exact same sound. I'm like, what? Yeah. That's crazy. So I kind of went on with my life. And then Wilder mentioned there was another Skywatch event coming up. And that night I had a dream of coming back to East City and seeing this giant Bigfoot footprint in my dream. And I was like, well, maybe that's a sign, I don't know. But for the next couple of nights, 11-11 kept showing up. on my clock. So I'm like, oh, geez. Okay, so maybe I should just, you know, fork out the cash and go to this Skywatch thing again. So we get here, and then earlier today, we were just, you know, we said that that little prayer, that little clearing prayer.
Yeah.
And I grabbed my log, and I started
knocking,
And I only did it, like, what, three times? Six times. The first three times, I heard, like, a little whoomp. But I was like, well, maybe that's something. I don't know. Then hit another three times, and then those calls came out.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was like, okay. So what is Bigfoot trying to, like, tell me? Or it seems like there's some – because previously I was working on a film and I was out in the woods and I heard the same sound too. But, but I blew it off because a friend of mine told me it was an owl. So I don't know. I keep –
Well, you have some connection there. You definitely have some connection there because, one, the drive to find out and everything else is coming from something within, you know, some interconnection.
Right.
And, you know, who knows? You know, you could have been a Bigfoot in a past life. Or they're very advanced beings. They're not just dumb, hairy apes like some people would try to say.
The really serendipitous thing that's even wilder than all of this is I made this film called Starleaf a couple of years ago about aliens and Marines. And in the sequel, completely out of the blue, I wrote in Bigfoot. He has a cameo. And my character in the film was a descendant of Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just kind of as a fluke. I just threw that in there as a gag, as a gimmick. And now I'm here hearing Bigfoot in the woods with pretty ease, you know. Now, again, I had no expectations of Bigfoot. I just thought it was some anomaly. But I'm starting to really think that there's something going on. And so the transdimensional part, that was something that I've heard, and I kind of blew it off. But what is that really about?
Well, what we've seen, I've seen several of them. And the first time I saw one, it was a female. And she was making this noise. It was like, it kind of went like moaning, like really moaning.
Right.
And I go, God, what is that? I said, something's really hurt. I need to go figure out what that is.
Yeah.
And it didn't sound human. But it sounded like some guy that was really messed up, you know?
Right.
And the moan was so heavy.
Primal, yeah.
Yeah, and so I walked down this path, and it was full moon, clear sky. I could see everything, and all of a sudden I stop, and here's this female Bigfoot sitting on a log.
Wow.
And she was kind of looking down, and she looked up at me, and I just opened my hands up and said, you know, can I help? Are you okay? You know, like this. And we just sat there looking at each other for a while, and then she stood up, and then she walked right by me, and turned around and looked at me, and she nodded, and her whole face was lit up by the moon, you know, and she nodded and kind of smiled at me, and I kind of got telepathically, thanks, but no thanks. Like, we don't deal with humans.
We have enough trouble with you guys.
We don't hang out with humans. It's always gone bad. You know, that's kind of, we've always been exploited. And that was what the information I kind of got in that. But she didn't even get to the forest, and she phased out.
Wow.
She just disappeared.
Right.
And then your mind goes, did that happen? You know, did that really happen?
Right.
And so I didn't even think about going and getting tracks or anything else.
Right.
I just left it at that. I said, that was really bizarre. But I could see she was a female, and she had breasts and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so she went by. And so I come home, and I'm living with this guy, Tom Dongo, who was an incredible remote viewer at the time.
Right.
And I go, Tom, you never believe what happened to us like this on the trip, you know? And he goes, Bigfoot. And I go, And I go, and remote viewer unsurpassed, you know, really good.
Yeah.
And so then he goes, it was a female. And I go, how'd this guy, you know, how'd this guy know that? He just nailed it.
Yeah.
He goes, it's a female. And I said, okay. And I go, well, was she wounded or hurt or something? He said, no, she got separated from her daughter.
Oh.
And that's why she was so upset. And she was so distraught. That's why you walked up on her, because she was really distraught.
Just overwhelmed.
And overwhelmed. And I said, God, this is all adding up. You know, it's all making sense.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, well, can you remote view the daughter? You know, and he said, she's with the others. You know, and I said, the others? And he goes, yeah, there's a whole tribe, you know, up there. So... And I said, no, that's good, you know. So I felt better about that. But to me, you know, I've had all these things happen like that, validations. But to me, there's no, first of all, to pull Bigfoot out of nowhere we didn't have cell phones, nothing with us at the time.
Yeah.
You know, this was back in the 80s and early 80s. And so nobody could have called home. There's no way he could have known about that, mm-hmm. you know, at all.
Yeah, and, right.
Yeah, and to pull Bigfoot out of the air is just insane.
Yeah, I mean, I totally have, like I said, when I came into this, I had no theories on Bigfoot. I had no interest. Mm-hmm. It's just something that's kind of hit me. So what would be, like, the next steps if I wanted to pursue this relationship that I guess I'm having with Bigfoot?
Yeah.
You know, what would be like, because like you just showed me a photo of a Bigfoot print that apparently you guys just found, and that's almost the same picture I had in my mind that made me decide to come here this weekend.
Yeah.
So it's just and part of my script when I was writing it was the idea that Bigfoot was like an offshoot of some kind of the human family, but because they communed more with nature than we did, they maybe earned this ability to do what they're doing. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah. You're right on. It's exactly what happened. They evolved in nature and they can do, you know, a lot of the yogis and the lamas can teleport.
That's right.
They can phase in and out and do all that stuff. Yeah. That's part of, and the more you're in nature, and if you evolve in nature without all the other chaos, you're going to develop those same abilities. And so they can merge with trees, and it's crazy.
Well, there's so much nature out here too, right? That's a lot of power in nature itself.
They had that saying, you know, if you want to go chase down Bigfoot, you'll never find it. But if it wants to find you, it will. So obviously you have a connection. You have a connection going that's trying to come together. And I think if you focus on that connection and just go into the heart and just send love and bliss to it, just sending that energy out with the intention of having a contact.
Yeah.
That it's going to happen. You know,
do I want to bring a camera to this, or do I want to
I wouldn't. Yeah.
I'm a little worried about actually seeing one though. Like, I don't want the fear to overwhelm me because I've heard it so far.
Yeah.
And maybe I've had like a little bit of a mental collection.
You don't have to worry. They won't harm you in any way whatsoever. The only encounter I had was I walked right into territory of this big male.
Yeah.
Oh. And he didn't. All he did was stomp and break a couple branches and made it very clear that I was in his space.
Yeah.
And so I apologized and I went back and I got some apples and bananas. I went back out and I put my antenna out. Hey, I have a peace offering, you know, and I put it on this rock out in the lake so I could see it if he came to get it.
All
right. And so we're paddling this canoe back away from the and I was with this friend of mine, and she looks back and she goes, the fruit's gone.
Nice.
And I go, what? I go, she goes, yeah, there was nobody. They would have had to come splash around a little bit. You know, they'd have to come out to get it.
Wow.
And I go, what? And she goes, yeah, it's gone. You know? And so I did an apology and just, you know, let that happen. But
you mentioned peanut butter sandwich. You're like, peanut butter banana.
Peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
That was Elvis's favorite sandwich too,
really?
By the way. Yeah.
Maybe Elvis was a Bigfoot, you know. I think he's on Mars right now or
is
something.
He?
I don't know.
I can't track. No,
he's left the Enquirer.
He's left the building. That's for sure.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
So
I'm gonna suede shoes on.
So I guess I'll just try to do some telepathic communication. Well, go out in nature and just try to, like, because it's something that's really like hit me out of left field.
Yeah.
And I'm very fascinated by it now. I've taken it very seriously now. It's a very cool thing. So
yeah, I'll tell you some places to go. Mm. I don't tell people this stuff unless your heart's in the right place.
Yeah,
I don't share it because everybody asks me where'd this happen, and I go, I'm not saying. You know, it's, you'll go terrorize them. You know,
totally.
They want to go out with all their gear and everything and hunt. You know, hunting Bigfoot's a joke. You're never going to hunt Bigfoot. It's like, that's just for the cameras, for the film industry. But if you go out there with the right consciousness, you can start interacting with them, and they'll let you know if you can film them or not.
Okay, you kind of get the go ahead first. Don't just barge in there. I mean, it's something that's
kind of meditate and ask, and if you get a really good feeling, hey, is it all right if I take a photo? And they'll let you know.
Did you hear about that Survivor Man guy? The guy at that show, Survivor Man. He apparently was doing his show for Discovery, and he had two Bigfoot encounters.
Oh, really?
And he quit doing his show, and he did another show just about Bigfoot.
Oh, really?
So he's one of the most mainstream guys out there. He was Bear Grylls had a TV show, and then this guy had a show, I think, on the Discovery Channel. What's that?
Les Stroud?
Yeah. So he kind of got me thinking about, man, this is something that people are experiencing. We don't have a typical answer for, but it's worth exploring.
I think we're really close to one day the inner earth, we're going to reconnect with them, and Bigfoot's part of that nature kingdom. It's like the height of the nature kingdom and kind of a protector.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have the UFOs and the spiritually technological advanced off-worlders are coming in. So
yeah, and I really
we're
like
have this big reunion here really
soon. It's coming.
Soon. Yeah, it's coming.
Awesome. Well, thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it was awesome.
All right. Anybody else want to come on the show? Yeah. It's like we have about 10 minutes left.
Okay. Hey, James.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. So it was a very beautiful ceremony today. Ezekiel Wheel is amazing. So I'm mostly sitting here because I think with all the talk about what's going on in the world politically and extraterrestrials and Bigfoot and all this other stuff, and we end up then coming to a place like this and we have to go home. Mm-hmm. And we have to be normal-ish, right? That was parentheses.
Don't do that.
I know. So we still have to pay our bills, and that's what I said in here. And, you know, we have to put a roof over our head and kind of function. And for me, the way that just changed for me is when I came here and you introduced me to my star family. Mm-hmm. So it's funny because I didn't associate you to extraterrestrials or Bigfoot or elementals or anything. I first saw you at Contact in the Desert a few times. Mm-hmm. And I really resonated with your spiritual side because you did three key things for me that I was looking for that made me feel like I could trust. And the first one was that you cleared space. Mm-hmm. Which was huge because you get the static and you get the mind chatter and the worry and the what about this and is Nibiru going to come and you know, it's all this stuff. So to me, the clearing clears that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not just negative entities, which is huge too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also some mind chatter that goes away. Mm-hmm. And then you call in our star family, which to me was huge because I felt so alone for so long because I've already connected to this kind of place where you can't explain it to somebody. Yes, I know that there's been other beings on the planet. Look at, you know, the Giza, look at Machu Picchu, look at the world.
Yeah.
Right? And we go, wow, we aren't the first ones that are here. It's silly. And here I am, and I'm not a scientist, and, you know, I'm not educated in that way. Just with, you know, landscaping and plants, and so I connect to the earth. But I knew those things. But when you introduced me to my star family, I didn't feel alone anymore. And I felt like I could make it, I could be okay. And there was that good kind of team that I had now. That's huge.
Yeah.
And then to come and have community like this with these people that are sitting and you hear the stories and I love the Bigfoot, you know, because I feel a connection there too. Mm-hmm. And I met a woman here, she's an ambassador for Bigfoot. Samara, and she says that they get their feelings hurt because they're afraid that we don't think that we think they're scary, and they don't want us to feel that way. They don't want us to be scared, so they won't show if your fear level is up.
Yeah,
they won't show. They're waiting for you not to be afraid because they want to be. They want to get to know you. I mean, stuff like this is huge. So this all I've learned from being here in a part of the SETI. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm up here, because it's so amazing. And you're not the you're not the spaceship guy to me, you know? But everybody comes to Yosemite to see the spacecraft. And when I saw him, I was like, well, holy crap. Okay. I already believed it. But yeah, of course they're here, right?
Yeah.
And then fairies. I have pictures of fairies that I always connected to the elementals and fairies. And I got home and had all these pictures of fairies on my camera. And all I did was take pictures in the dark. You know, and it's like, God, you know, it's just amazing. We're living in such an amazing time, and we all chose to be here. And the big thing for me is that we're all a star, or all star family, all of us are. And not to forget that we can call on our star family, that you introduce all of us to help us to go back out into the world and live our spiritual lives in our human body and have that human experience that we came to have.
Yeah, a lot of people that actually incarnated from these star nations have a real hard time being here because they just don't get it. You know, they go, this is nuts, the way people treat each other and the planet. And pretty soon they think there's something wrong with them, or they get absorbed, you know, by the system. And and when they get initiated and they wake up and they go, whoa, I was okay all along. I was fine.
Right.
The world's a mess right now. And, and then, so now I need to get on and, you know, and it's not for us to leave here. It's for us to truly create heaven on earth to, and there's a big reset going on, which is another long story, but we're part of that. We were the terraformers that came here in the past. You
and
know?
You told me that for me, which made sense because I'm a landscape designer. I went to school for architecture. And it was like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
I've always looked at the planet and thought, how am I going to make it a better place?
And a lot of us came from very advanced civilizations. And we have that knowledge within us. And then we compare it to what's happening here. And we really have a hard time adjusting that. And when you're really young, it's very hard to make the adjustment here, especially when you come from a really advanced civilization. But I think coming here, people go, whoa, I'm okay.
Yeah.
I was right. You know, when I was a kid, I did know what was going on, you know, and I'm, and so it's allowing people to get back in touch with that part of themselves that, that had these connections going, that had that sense of awe, and they're open to these other dimensions, these other experiences. And what's nice about here, the veils are so thin between worlds, you can experience just about anything here, you know.
So you can, exactly.
Whatever you're connected to, it usually manifests here for.
Right, right. And it does feel like home. It really does feel like home. So thank you.
All right, thanks for coming on the show. We've got a few minutes left. Maybe we can, what do you think, Kathy? I'll bring Kathy up here just for a short thing. And she was doing the animal communication little lecture. What would you call those lectures, gatherings?
An animal communication how-to.
Yeah, how-to. And everybody that's been to these just love them. And you know, unfortunately, we only have just a few minutes left, but we have about 6 or 7 minutes left. But maybe you can talk a little bit about how can people communicate with their animals, and what's the best tip you can give people?
Well, I think people connect and talk to their animals all the time. Anybody that has a pet already says that they, you know, of course I talk to my animal, but they don't really realize that that the animal is really hearing everything they are saying and able to communicate back in a telepathic way that is really easy to validate. Mm-hmm. And all you got to do is get in your heart space and connect with your animal. And when I'm here, I tell my dogs where I'm at and what I'm doing, and I talk to them before the before I have my little how-to, and tell them to talk to people, and they do. They give people like what color their collars were, and they were even telling Ashley what kind of questions she should ask today.
Yeah. I think it's amazing. It's almost like remote viewing through the dog's eyes, and they're in a distance, and people were hitting it right on. I mean, they were, were nailing.
They got
the toys, everything that they had. They were
the
hitting
pizza.
It. Yeah.
It is. It's really amazing, and it's so reassuring, I think, for people, because people don't want to leave their dog at home. And if you all you need to do is tell your dog that that where you're going and when you'll be back, and they totally understand. Animals get wrong conclusions from past experiences too. And they need a little help in clearing bad energies sometimes. Their emotions are really so much like our own, which you can see on their faces.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe I know one guy, he's trying to say, you know, animals don't have souls and this and all this other stuff. I go, what are you talking about? You know, where are you coming from? Each animal is different. They have their own personality. You know, a good example is the sheep out here. They're hilarious.
Oh, they're wonderful.
They all have a different personality. The goats, too. They have a different personality. They all have a different call. They have a different, I mean, they're so different. It's funny watching them, you know, and when you are tuned in, you can really sense the diversity in their souls, you know, that how you diverse they are.
You look in their eyes and you can feel their soul.
Yeah.
I think that's the case with most animals. But yeah, the goats are hilarious.
Oh, they're brilliant, the goats, watching them play around.
I took some pictures just tonight of the goats when we were closing them up, and there was orbs all over.
Oh, yeah.
In the goats. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, there's so much going on here. I think it is important to stay close to the earth, you know, stay close to your pets, your animals, you know, keep that connection going, because I like what Chief Seattle said, you know, you take a man out of nature, you harden his heart, you know, and that's, unfortunately, that's what's happened on the planet on a mass scale. And we got to get out of this concrete jungle and these cubicles and these 9-to-5 programs and get out in nature as much as we can.
And when people spend time with animals, you can't be in a bad mood around an animal. You just can't. Yeah. It lifts your mood immediately, and they're so helpful.
You know, and on behalf of the animals, it's really important what you project on the animals. They're totally subjective. And so when they hurt themselves or something, they might be a little sick or something, don't focus that energy on them, because they'll act it out.
Yeah,
they'll get worse. They'll pick it up and act it out. And, you know, we have Jadar here, and he's 24 years old now. And so we've been focusing puppy on him ever since he was born, you know.
And he acts like a puppy.
Yeah, and he still thinks he's a puppy.
He was running around with Eva and I yesterday, just like he was a puppy.
Yeah.
And another thing, animals will tend to take on their owner's disabilities
and
their illnesses.
Yeah.
And so people with pets might want to look at that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've seen that happen many times. Yeah, we just got 2 minutes left, so anything you want to say in closing? Or
I'm just so grateful to have been able to spend so much time at eSETI. It has been an amazing experience. I think anybody that has an opportunity to come here should come. It has been so profound, life-changing.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You know, all the staff here has just been excellent and keep this place together. And big kudos, maybe a big round of applause for the staff that helped keep this place together. You have no idea how much I appreciate that, and it frees me up to do these other things. And we are hitting the end of the hour, so just a little reminder, you know, really focus on creating heaven on earth and operate under universal law. And if you don't know what universal law is, it's universal peace, brother, sister, love, individual freedom and prosperity for everyone. It's the ninth wave. It's unity consciousness, whatever you want to call it. That's where we're going. And if you want to align with the earth and her evolutionary process, that's what we need to align ourselves with in the future. So all I can say is stay in the heart, watch the skies, be attuned to your environment. There's so many things going on, and the shift is here, and the shift is hitting the fan. You know, so anyway, have a great evening. Good night.